How many slips do we have? Two? Dwayne DeWitt. I'll call on Dwayne DeWitt first.
I like this chair. It's comfortable.
Hello, my name is Dwayne DeWitt. I'm from Roseland, which is over in southwest Santa Rosa. And I've spoken here before in the past, but almost all the folks have changed since I first started coming here. And I wanted to reconnect in with you so that you would understand that we still need you badly out in Roseland, that you folks were a help to us in the last century because groundwater contamination had been discovered, and you folks were at least some people who paid attention to Roseland and our issues. And you actually even released information sheets to us, and you helped to inform the community and keep us aware of what the possibilities for the future might be. Unfortunately, we kind of fell off the radar, I guess. I haven't really seen any information sheets in a long time, and there was some activity going on with the county buying up some land that had been contaminated, and now they've got a project going forward there. And also the city of Santa Rosa has gotten some funding from the state through the Metropolitan Transportation Commission to do what they call a specific plan out in that general area. But it's all silo type thinking, and we need to have a more comprehensive approach. And I'm hoping that you folks at the state could at least give us an update, somehow connect in with the citizens again, perhaps with the information sheets that you used to give us to tell us the status on the existing sites, the open files, and the different things that were going on. By chance, when I got here, I realized you're having a visioning and that you folks are kind of reordering how you do things, perhaps. And I'd like to let you see a vision of Roseland in your future, all right? And I know you might have thought, well, geez, who are those guys? But get a map of Santa Rosa, just look at it, and then the southwest part. And Santa Rosa deliberately made a county island about 18 years ago, and that's where Roseland is. According to the state, it's called a duck. It's a disadvantaged, underserved, unincorporated community. And that's our official title now, Roseland Duck. So we walk like a duck too, I guess. But the main thing is for you folks to be perhaps the lead in a sense. And I was definitely going to learn more about the new folks that are here and reacquaint myself with people. I've trained as an environmental planner since I first started coming here, and I've gotten a little bit of knowledge beyond just my little local bailiwick, if you will. So I've also linked in with a do-good group. It's the California Environmental Protection Association, and they want to try to help on our efforts at Roseland Creek. We've got a riparian corridor out there. We could do some stormwater retention kind of things, aquifer recharge, good clean water kind of stuff. So please keep that in mind and keep that group, California Environmental Protection Association, in your records. And let it be known that once again I was here to visit, and I'll come back and see you again more in the new year. Thank you for your time.
Board Member Norton.
Mr. Chair, Matt, can I ask, I think it was a meeting or two ago that I asked for an update specifically to McMinn. And actually, Mr. DeWitt, you're referring to an area which in the regulatory, you're right, there was a lot of work in corralling the problem, the contaminant problem with the numbers of leaking underground tanks and VOC releases in that area. You're very right also to say that the original fact sheet information is dated and old. I asked for an update of this a while ago, and I'm just asking you then, do we have a tentative schedule maybe? And it's actually a perfect time, I would say, with the potential annexation of this area coming in and infrastructural changes that likely come with that. And by the way, there's been a ton of work done down there, and it's time. Do we have an idea when that might happen?
So I believe you requested it at the November meeting,
yeah.
And my thought was to include it as an EO report article, but if there's an interest in having it be an item before the board, we can consider that. And as far as time frame, I need to check with Craig Hunt to confirm, but I think we could do it by the next board meeting.
What's an EO?
A written update. It's just an article part of our executive officer's report.
You're the EO. Okay. Thanks, boss. Yeah. now I understand some jargon. Thank you. Yeah.
Hey, Matt, might we do this, that would you please check in with cleanup staff, see where they're at with it, and we could talk about how we maybe bring it forward, but I think it would be a good time to have a conversation about this.
Sounds good.
Great. Thanks, Dwayne.
Thank you, sir. Next, Brenda Edelman.
Good morning. Brenda Edelman, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. I attended the PPFC meeting yesterday. Public participating, I always forget what those stand for, but it's basically the yearly meeting about the biological opinion. And I made a presentation. Basically, there were some comments I made. The water agency's doing a lot of testing or fish counts in the estuary and in the lower river. And I had been looking at the data and noticed that basically what went into their report was that the fish were, they counted the number of fish and they noted their size, and then they put a little chip in them so they could track them, and then they let them go. And it occurred to me that this would be a fantastic opportunity to note the gender of the fish, because that could give information about whether there's estrogenic chemicals affecting the fish, if there's a predominance, especially of males or females. And anyway, after the meeting, the people giving the presentation from the water agency came up to me and said, well, most of what they're counting are juvenile fish, so they can't tell at that point. But they said they do collect other information that doesn't go into the report, and they do note gender. And I said, well, is there any way of reporting on that information? And the other thing I was asking them to report about was about how many come from the hatchery and how many are wild fish. And they said they do sort of keep track, at least in a general way. He didn't say they were specific, but he thought they were either 40%, it was like a 40-60 split, and I think the 60 were wild, which surprised me a little bit. On the steelhead, I'm not sure about the coho, and they said they don't check the Chinook. But at any rate, I asked them, they said they could count or note the gender in these reports and keep careful track of at least where they see the adult fish. And they said all they need is a request from the regional board. And I'm asking you to make that request, that if they're catching these fish and they're noting this information and they're actually handling each one of them, if they're putting chips in them, whatever further information they could get that would be helpful, especially in terms of trying to find out if there is a problem of endocrine disruption in the river as far as the fish are concerned. So I hope maybe you'll look into it. It sounds like a simple thing. They're doing the work anyway, and it would be nice to see some reports and some more detailed information. The other point I wanted to make is that they also take a lot of water quality data. And
you're hitting the red light, so you need to finish up.
I'll try and be real quick. Basically, they take data in the lower river from Vacation Beach to Jenner in five or six different locations. In 2014, they took 26 samples at each location. And for the phosphorus reading, and this was the only one that read this way, every single sample was out of compliance with the parameters that, I guess they were EPA parameters. I don't remember the exact number now. But I am very concerned because the EIR on the Fishflow Project, which would involve a permanent lowering of flows in the river, is coming up and out in a couple of months, and I'm hopeful that your agency will address this issue, because I did a lot of photography work on the lower river in
you're running over the time.
In 2009, I did photography work when the flows were really low and there was algae everywhere. The river was a mess.
You're hurting your case at this point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Corbett. I appreciate the time.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Brenda, it would be my pleasure to ask the staff in terms of getting gender count, if that is all it takes. And I leave it to the discretion of the executive officer, but if that is what it takes, we'd be happy to put that request into the water agency.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair.
One other element she mentioned. They were talking about juveniles and not adults, but usually with the chips, they go out to sea and they come back. So can staff find out, are those juveniles going out to sea, or why, you know, unless they're hanging out in the river, why aren't they mature fish? That would be my question, because that's where a lot of the chip counts occurs when they're caught in the ocean.
So I attended, I'm on the PPFC committee, and I attended the presentations that Brenda's referring to. So they insert the chips in juveniles as they're out migrating, and then they check them upon the returning fish.
Okay, so that, you may have gotten misinformation. And then obviously we have red flag care on our comments on the EIR.
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Just another FYI, but another data set in terms of an ongoing record and trend of gender diversity in fish are the two fish collecting stations on the Russian River, the first one being at Warm Springs, the second one being at Coyote Dam. I visited the Coyote Dam facility on Monday when they were handling fish. They not only tracked gender, but they also tracked wild versus hatchery fish. And that's also where they hold the smolts that get the chips that are ultimately released. So, Matt, if you need some help with this, give me a call. I'll help. I'm certainly willing to help you identify who those people are. And then just another little side note, just the total number of fish, getting back to the relationship of flows and fish movement, the Ukiah fish hatchery project as of Monday has only seen 212 fish, where it should be well over 1,000 by this point. So flow is, we don't know how many fish are in the river, but they're not moving up. They're stuck somewhere, probably below Healdsburg from what I'm hearing. So those are sources of data sets, yearly data sets that are archived, and if there's any trend to be seen, you know, those are the sets we'd want to go after.
And then I did want to say the drought does provide us an excellent data set of reduced flows, and I would hope not just in this watershed, but a whole bunch of them that would be looked at, although it's far more complex than simply the quantity of water, temperature, and other factors. But and I think, any other items? Did we cover everything? Thank you. The next item is Christy Wrigley, Upper Elk River resident. She asked in advance for some extra time. I'm going to give her 9 minutes. In the future, what I'm telling everyone, if you want extensions of time, you better get something in writing to the board so that we can follow up, and we don't want this to be a habit. Christy spent a tremendous amount of time on the Elk River watershed, and so that's and has a lot of expertise. So that's the basis of it. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to remind people. Oh, I'm Christy Wrigley from Elk River. Thank you. Of all the times I've been here, I have usually not needed reminding, but thank you very much. I'd like to remind you that we are still waiting for effective relief. And I know it doesn't do you any good to remind you that it has been 20 years, but it's been 17 years. I'd like to remind you to all go back and read the findings that were made for the WDR and ask yourselves how many of those have been effectively addressed. And then ask us questions. That is the most trying thing that is going on. Nobody ever asks us anything, except maybe Adona. And then we ask them to come and to hear us and find out what we know. We know a lot more than the process by which a THP goes through. They use all of the information that you guys have created as an excuse to carry on logging as usual. Logging as usual got us where we are. Logging continued is continuing to make us worse. Just like we know that this is a mild winter, as was last winter, because we aren't burning our wood piles as fast, we know what's going on in our river. It's not a scientific experiment. It's what we live with every day, and we know by living with it every day. We know our river better than anybody else. And I guarantee you, the winter logging that is going on right now is abominable. The trucks start rolling as early as 4, and they roll all day. That is not making us better. It is definitely making the river worse. We see it in the deposits that are left after the flood. The flood on Solstice this year reminded us all of how devastating it is to our water, our property, and our lives. One of our older neighbors, who is 85, went to emergency on the 19th of December, their 71st anniversary, I believe, and she went on Christmas Day. It was very nice. The flood happened in the middle of that because she had to call for an emergency service to take her in. Another neighbor had tachycardia. She almost asked me to take her in. Another younger neighbor who's around 50 also had to be transported to emergency. But we want our water back. We want our lives back. People are leaving as they get older because they see the future. We've been seeing it. And all we ever get greeted with is another logging truck. In winter, we're the ones that live there. We know what happened when conditions were getting better with our river. We're the only ones that really pay attention. Winter logging wasn't one of them. Neither was the upcoming 190-acre clear cut, nor the 500-plus acres that are in the pipeline to come down. None of those will make us better. And you don't have to know where every piece of sediment is to know that you need to stop what's going on temporarily so we can get our lives and our property back. We know you have the power. You have the power to stop or continue this situation. Where is your right to allow my upstream neighbor to dump his pollution on my property year after year? I would appreciate it if some of you that are in our area, especially John Corbett and Jeff Hales, would please come and intimately discuss this with a few of us that have been there longer than we care to admit and really find out the facts. The process of a THP is broken. We are the poster child of everything that can go wrong and does go wrong. When Caltrans has a catastrophic event that they didn't plan for, they have to make amends and they have to pay fines. Well, the basis of what's going on in our watershed was a big catastrophe that CDF said, oh, well, those were slides, and they get a pass. And there's another 0 point set for us. So we pay the price. We are the only ones that pay the real price. They get to go ahead and log. They get to go ahead and make a profit. The science team gets called in. And off our demise, they get to do a lot of interesting, wonderful science. I love working with them. Great people. While logging goes on, that's not the way to find the answer here. We have better ways. And that company has a lot of other places to log besides Elk River. And their log deck is huge. Go take a look at it. Please. Engage us, listen to us, and don't fall into the political trap that is set. You do have the power. There is nothing in the Headwaters Agreement that says, oh, you have to okay timber because the governor wants it. And those poor people out there, they're so weak. There's not very many of them, and there aren't very many of us. But we are anxious to work with you and honestly with the timber company. They never ask us anything. And regardless of what they pretend to say, their logging is making it worse. We see it. There was over an inch of sediment deposited after this last storm. There wouldn't be that much in 10 years before loggings of Maxam. We're the only ones that know that. And regardless of what the industry tells you, and I'm sorry if this is so boring to you, but it's very devastating to us and very scary. But regardless of what CDF says to you, logging is not immediate, proactive watershed restoration. It is immediate, proactive watershed devastation, especially to the residents. And the residents weren't in the Headwaters Agreement, and every time I brought it up, I got laughed at. And now I just get ignored. So please, thank you very much. Thank you for the time. I came down in case any of you have any questions that you could possibly want to ask. I will be here, and I will be here for some time.
I did want to ask one. Can you refine your original comment when you said we're being used as an excuse, exactly what you meant by that for inaction or the THPs? I didn't quite understand your comment.
I maybe misspoke when I, yeah. I don't remember that statement,
okay, well
but
that
I'm saying they do not engage in us. Oh, they use everything that has come out. They, meaning CDF, uses all of the WDRs and all of the reports, including the TMDL, as a reinforcement for them to continue logging.
So it'd be the CDF interpretation of our documents?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I did want to very, very briefly respond. procedurally, in order to try and expedite a decision, we combined really our planning in sort of a quasi-general permit. And the rule is clear. If it's an individual permit, we can't talk to you because there's fair hearing. If it's a statewide general permit, there's no problem. And there's probably no problem with a regional general waste discharge permit, but then it's a little bit more untested territory when you're dealing with a particular watershed, and a particular watershed where there's an extreme concentration of the discharge. I mean, there's two big dischargers there in regard to silvicultural activities. So for myself, one of the concerns I have of coming down and talking is making sure that I'm in compliance with your fair hearing processes, and it's a cloudy area, just to be honest.
We don't want you to talk so much as we want you to listen and look.
Well, it has to be everything that's going to appear in the hearing record. So I am working with staff on that. I did want to let you know you'd be heard. The next thing I did want to say is, one, we tried to telescope process to speed it up, and two, I think the board and staff are very frustrated with the pace. We have a board committee that's trying to force a faster pace of decision making, and I know it's an ongoing concern of the board. And so in regard to trying to sum this process up in a reasonable length of time going forward, it is a high priority of this board at this point.
It has been since 2002. You think you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And devastated, and all we have are logging trucks in winter. Surely you have power over that.
Thank you.
And it is literally devastating everybody out there, especially in Elk River Court. And they saw it this winter. They saw it with the rains, and you can't come out 10 days later and say, oh, we don't see any sediment.
Okay, thank you.
We
appreciate your comments. Any other board questions or comments? Okay, I believe that takes care of the public forum. Anyone else from the public want to speak? Okay, we will take the next agenda item is approval of the minutes, November 19th and 20th.